Our economy right now is headed in the right direction. And it will stay that way as long as there aren't any more self-inflicted wounds coming out of Washington.
The president speaks. He's pushing for a stopgap. We need a budget deal. Got to avoid the deep, nasty cuts that make us bleed. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. This hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the budget. Oh, I know. I mean, a little bit. Also, drones and legalizing marijuana. So, Obama pushed and pushed and pushed. He says, look, short-term spending cuts, higher taxes. This is what we got to do. We got to put off the sequester, the automatic cuts. They're going to slice us and dice us. They're going to cripple the military and the domestic programs. March, baby, that is D-Day. What happens? So, really, if you look at it, there could even be a government shutdown on March 27th. March is not going to be kind because of more of this conversation. If we just do what we're supposed to do in the beginning, we don't have to beg and plead and cajole. Bottom line is the appeal comes because the Congressional Budget Office projected a federal deficit under $1 trillion for the first time. Republicans are pushing the president to submit balanced budgets, okay? So we're pushing back and forth, and that's what's happening in Washington after devouring each other, the politicians, over guns, immigration, and a slew of other things, including, oh, yeah, that fiscal cliff that we were dangling on. So a short-term deficit trim would delay, once again, the giant spending cuts that are really unpopular with the Democrats and the Republicans. And it also shows us the difficulty that the people we put in place to make the numbers work, the difficulty they keep having in adopting any kind of a long-term budget. Any kind of a long-term budget. Anybody got a solution to this? And the more we keep putting these Band-Aids on, the harder it gets. That's the problem. It's more than a challenge. So the government's going to run, basically, borrowing 24 cents of every dollar we spend. We're borrowing 24 of that. The deficit might decline to $430 billion by 2015. That's a little bit better. But we still have the main problem. Baby boomers retiring. Medicare, Social Security. It's going to get higher and higher again. We're going to hit $1 trillion in that decade. So the bottom line is the fuzzy math solutions, the short-term solutions aren't working. There has to be a better way to do this. And you have to have a long-term budget. Why every couple of months do we have to have these pleas to fix something? It's the quick fix. Oh, it's like liposuction. We're being liposuctioned to death in Washington. There's no diet. It's just a liposuction. We just keep going down the same path. Frustrating. Let's move on to a way to make money. Stateside, anyway. California is drowning in debt. Even the movie stars want to leave because they don't want to pay the high taxes. So a congressman, not from California, but urging fellow Congress folks from California to do the same thing, Earl Blumenauer, is saying, listen, let's legalize pot. Why don't we do it? Look at the stats. It's a no-brainer. What about alcohol and cigs? Congressman, take the floor.
A taxation framework similar to that in place for tobacco and alcohol industries. We arrested 250,000 people in 2011 for use of a substance that half Americans think should be legal, and more than two-thirds say the states should be free to regulate.
All right, should the states be free to regulate? I say bravo. My vote is yes. If this was parliamentary procedure and I had a seat at the table, I'm going to vote yay. Let the states do it. Why not?
You want to get
tax.
High?
Yeah. What did he ask me again?
You want to get high?
That is the question they're asking in Washington and in Colorado. Tax it. Tax it, tax it, tax it. Exactly. If somebody wants a smoke on a spleef, let them do it. Why can't, just, who cares? Is it a gateway drug? We can go into these long arguments, and we've had people on the show in law enforcement. That's what we call
spliff.
A spliff, I'm sorry. Did I say spleef?
Yeah.
That's my coffee speaking. Let me go to my technical expert on dope. That would be Matt Johnson. And get the name. So, anyway, why can't we come to this point in our lives where we recognize that if you legalize marijuana, you do two things. There's more cops where departments are being cut in half. For goodness sake, they don't have the budgets for the police. You know, you call 911 in some areas, you may be waiting for a long time. How about the sheriff who, I want to say it was Wisconsin, who said, hey, if you're going to, in his town, he said, if you're calling for us, man, you better have a gun in your house, because by the time we respond to your call, it's going to be too late. That pretty much tells you something. It was Milwaukee. Pretty much tells you something. That if they're telling you that there, what does that mean? What does that mean for your town and the town over? We're all having the same problems. So if you legalized pot, you would have more money coming in, more money for police, more serious crimes being tried, going through the system faster, because you wouldn't waste it on busting teens for little amounts of marijuana. And by the way, marijuana use is up. Kids are smoking pot. Not all kids, but some kids are smoking pot. Sometimes they recreationally use it, and then they go away from it because they're looking for jobs, they're going to get drug tested, or they're done with it. It's just a phase. It's like, you know, smoking some cigarettes. But I know that there's people cringing when they listen to me because they say it's a gateway drug. I've looked at all sides of this. This may be one of the hardest things that I've done the entire time I've been in radio. Deep. This and the immigration issue. So I've heard from enough top cops, police chiefs, that they really believe legalizing it is the answer, because you can also, what it would do to the legal system, how it would help, and also the money that you could raise in the taxation, and also ever be a reality. I don't know. We've got a few yays in the House. We've got a few nays in the House. Say, put it to a vote of the people in the states. Let every state decide. I mean, it's been a ballot issue in California. If they keep saying no, then it's no. But why not put it out there? Do that as an effort to curb some of the nonsense that's happening and cracking down on small amounts of marijuana, and also to come up with another revenue stream that states who are cash-strapped can figure out a way to get out of it, so they don't have to cut back hours at the DMV where you have one day only, to register your car a week. I mean, it's crazy. California is the best example of it, without a doubt. Stay with us. Coming up, a little bit of a dungeon move coming up next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Beside me, I want you to love me. I'm surprised that you've never been told before that you're lovely and you're perfect and that somebody wants you.
Amazing to me that anonymous, nameless, faceless individuals on a website can drive that type of story into the mainstream. So the bottom line is all of those smears are absolutely false.
All right, Senator Menendez from New Jersey doesn't like that the Senate Ethics Committee is checking out this story about the senator and prostitutes, saying, you know, this just continues to snowball because a Dominican prostitute is saying that the senator went to sex parties with prostitutes. Many of them were underage. And that the woman went on to say that the senator liked the newest and the youngest girls, that that's who he would seek out when he would go to these parties. It's a good fair or foul, because the senator is saying, oh, it's a bunch of crap and it's made up. Basically, the internet breaking the story, a blogger breaking the story, where's the credibility in that? And that he is not this corrupt guy he's being painted out to be. So, in checking out the story, the girl in the Dominican is insistent that she's a liar, that this is in fact a true story. And Menendez keeps saying the opposite, so it's kind of a he said, she said deal. And will ultimately Menendez find that it's not such easy waters that he's surfing in? What's happened and what's interesting is that by his side on this one, because, you know, if you get flagged, whether it's false or whatever, whether it's a false accusation or nonsense that's being stirred up or whatever, and it is snowballing, then you got to come back with something. You got to be able to come back And if the FBI is investigating it, if they're looking into it, and he's denying, and he's saying that that you can smash him any way you want, but it's just utter nonsense, then you got to lawyer up, and you got to have a really, really good lawyer. So that's exactly what he's done. He's gotten himself a good lawyer to stand by his side, so that if he's in the spotlight, then, you know, the person that's standing there with him can help to fend him off, to fend off the wolves, as he describes it. But what happened was that Menendez did an interview with Martha Raddatz on ABC's This Week, and he wasn't even asked a question about the investigation or the allegations of any kind of improper conduct whatsoever. This is Menendez, there's the call girl that's speaking through the translator, and the woman in question is saying again and again through translators that, yes, this is true, and part of the reason why is because he was supposed to pay $500 and didn't pay $500. So here's what I'm going to say. He said it in his comment there, but if truly you're getting pounced on unfairly, the thing to do, Senator Bob, is, because he's gone after lots and lots of people. So if the allegations are completely false and you do go to the Dominican a ton, then get the people in the Dominican who know that to be nonsense, because all you're doing is going out to dinner, hanging out with the folks, not doing anything that would possibly compromise your integrity, then come forward with that and you don't have to worry about it, right? I mean, this is a guy who came out in support of, he's a co-sponsor of the Respect for Marriage Act, and he voted also for the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell, as he was in Congress, obviously, in the 90s. You can go back and look for the Defense of Marriage Act in Congress in 1996. He sponsored all kinds of bills relating to hate crimes and hate crime prevention and all that kind of stuff. And he is definitely one of the more liberal senators in Washington. And for all the things that he's gone after, domestic violence, crimes against kids, crimes related to that kind of stuff, boy, this would be something if they could really prove this. So if I were Senator Bob, I would bring up and start looking for those friends in the Dominican. Sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. In fact, a lot of times where there's smoke, there's fire. So if there's a real trail here, you might not like the sniping from the bloggers, but somebody else will pick it up, and they'll make that trip to the Dominican, and they'll see what they can find out. We're talking about like your New York Times kind of people, your Washington Post kind of people. So Senator Bob, just in case, because we want to cover all our bases, we're going to give you a time out. You have to sit in our America Tonight prison. Matt, please show him the way, but give him a really good seat.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, bummer. The internet has to be the worst thing for politicians ever invented, and the reason why is because, you know, anything that happens, boom, it's out there in an instant. And maybe there's not a lot of truth to it. Maybe there's just some truth to it. But a lot of times, like I said, where there's smoke, there's fire. The more people that jump on it, and the more people that can get to the prostitute and the others that are talking about it, then the more possibilities, he better have everything covered off, if that's what he's saying, that it's completely false. Talk to the celebrities. They don't even want to sue the rags anymore because they've got to spend millions, and a lot of times it gets tied up in court forever. Since we talk about guns so much in America Tonight and across this nation, the gun conversation is the biggest conversation in the land, I think, when it comes to rights. At least right now, it is the biggest conversation. One of the interesting things that's happening in California, and look out for this because it could be coming to your neighborhood soon, is requiring people who buy guns to buy liability insurance to cover any kind of injuries or damage caused by the weapons they have. There have actually been other bills introduced in other states, Connecticut, Maryland, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and New York, just to name a few. So in California, that what they're saying, and this came out of San Francisco, is wouldn't it be great if, you know, you have cars that have to buy auto insurance, why don't we encourage gun owners to get, you know, the firearm safety classes, keep their guns locked up, and then they can get lower insurance rates. But maybe they need insurance. We should make this a law. Wouldn't this work? So far, a lot of these bills that have been proposed have just been shut down. The proposals, what they would ultimately require, this means more red tape, that buyers would have to show proof of insurance before they could get a weapon. And in California, it would apply to anyone who owns a weapon. Anyone. They're trying to work out all the details. That way, that the gun owners, if they don't act responsible, they can be sued for damages. Oh, can you just imagine the lawsuits in this thing? Oh, can you imagine? So what, and then by the way, we already know this, they're also introducing some legislation that would give a state income tax credit of up to $1,000 to anybody who turns in a gun to a local gun buyback program. And the amount of the credit would be determined based on the value of the weapon. How about that? Now, the NRA, to be fair, offers people liability insurance. But for the most part, the NRA is opposed to people buying policies. Because think about the Constitution, think about the blowback, think about gun owners and requiring more insurance. Ultimately, who benefits from this? Is it the gun owner? I'll give you 5 seconds to think about it. How's that? Any thoughts on insurance and guns? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
Balance, harmony, mental alertness, physical well-being. If once you possess these qualities, but stress now weighs you down, you can get your mental edge back in a holistic approach with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Not a drug. Nootropic Mind Power is a lasting, proven natural supplement with 12 powerful ingredients in nutraceutical compounds and are non-GMO. Plus, it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power Cognitive Supplement from MindRegard.com. MindRegard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Valentine's Day is next week, and ProFlowers is offering an amazing deal. 100 stunning blooms of love plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code RADIO13. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Flower prices will skyrocket during Valentine's Week. Order now from ProFlowers to get huge savings, plus pick any delivery date and it's guaranteed. guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms of love sent fresh from the fields. Guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99. Remember, flower prices can double, even triple next week. And this incredible deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code RADIO13. That's ProFlowers.com. Secret code RADIO13.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
America tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all the nooks and crannies in between. Well, we like to say this often, our satellite facility is in Texas, and in Texas, there's a whole lot of fracking going on, and there's controversy over fracking, I think, around the country. But there's also people who are loving this because their economies are being pumped up. Oil and gas, when you look at where we are in this country, some people are really starting to see a big turnaround. And there's a couple of different ways. You know, it's different if we're talking about fracking in one sense, if we're talking about natural gas. And then if we're talking about oil, there's something a little bit different to that, too. But there's been complaints about earthquakes and what about groundwater. In fact, there is a movie out with Matt Damon. Some of you might have seen it called Promised Land, and that's exactly what it was about, this wild drama about fracking in rural Pennsylvania. Matt Damon's character is trying to make sure people get the money and jump in, and then there's a push to say, whoa, 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 about fracking, and is fracking good for everyone? You know, what's happening out there across the country? What's some of this controversy about? Really, basically, fraconomics. What's it all about? What we don't understand? And what maybe we should know when we look at some of this. Joining us, he's in our virtual green room. I understand where he is in Chicago. visiting. Luckily for him, it's a lot of nasty snow up there. I spent a lot of time in Chicago, so I know about that. Dave Ammons joins us. He's partner with Diamond McCarthy, and his specialty is oil and gas, and he knows all about the whole fracking deal. Hey, Dave, thanks for popping on ATN.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so the controversy over fracking, environment versus what really fracking is, how deep are we going, what about these earthquakes? From the point of view of the positives of fracking, because now we're getting pummeled by a lot of the negatives, what is working with fracking, and how do you knock down some of those concerns?
Well, you know, taking a step back, fracking is necessary in about 90% of the wells that we have here in the U.S. So I think you got to start with the premise that fracking is here to stay, and to what extent you're regulating it, you need to make sure that it's done according to the best practices in the industry so that any concerns that are raised about public health and welfare can be accounted for.
Yeah. So so there's lots of hearings. There's lots of different opinions on this. There's, you know, concerns about, like I said, the earthquake thing. What do we know about that? I mean, when you shake up the earth, of course, that's always a possibility.
You know, I think the scientists who address the issue are candid that we just don't know a lot about earthquakes.
Yeah.
There are inconclusive studies out there, I think, that suggest that injecting fluid into the ground near fault lines might be connected with small-scale earthquakes. But, you know, it's an issue that they still need to study, and I don't think anybody's come out with a conclusive answer.
No, I've looked around. I haven't found anything conclusive either. A lot of blogs and a lot of things that don't link back, though, to actual evidence. And that's where this is my other question with environmental groups, which sometimes they're good. They're good for change. And sometimes they're ridiculous and over the top. And we talk about it all the time when on this show. I'm in heavy support of the Keystone Pipeline, and I hear all the blowback and arguments against it. But with the issue of safety and fracking and all that stuff, the environmental groups sometimes are getting now in the way of progress. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, you know, and they're kind of in a catch-22 because they were longtime advocates of natural gas in particular as an alternative to coal, which they, you know, they dislike. And so, you know, they have to recognize that fracking is essential to most of the natural gas deposits that we have, the shale deposits in the U.S. So, you know, I think they've got to accept that fracking's here to stay. The question is how we regulate it.
Yeah. And so what are you seeing as far as the push for the regulations? It's kind of the Wild West, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we have the typical federal versus states' rights debate here, whether the states that are really the traditional regulators of oil and gas in this country are equipped to handle the issue as they have been for years, or whether the federal government needs to step in and have, you know, a uniform nationwide regulation for all fracking in the U.S.
Yeah. What are we seeing, though, with people making money on natural gas because it's on their property, and then somebody knocks on the door, they start to get phone calls? I know some people that's happened to, and it's been an amazing transformation in their life because of the amount of money that they've been able to make with rights, mineral rights, and et cetera, that are on their property.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the typical oil and gas lease, the landowner gets an upfront payment called a bonus, and it's usually calculated a dollar based on acreage. So, you know, sometimes the sums paid for bonuses can be in the millions. And then on top of that, to the extent there's actually drilling on their land or on a unit in which their land is included, they get a percentage of the value of the crude oil or natural gas that's produced and then sold. So, I mean, it can be a substantial windfall for landowners, but it can also be great for state and local governments. During the Great Recession we just had, the state of North Dakota actually had a budget surplus when most of the states in this country were really hurting, and that was primarily attributable to the Bakken shale formation that they have in North Dakota, which is primarily a crude oil formation. But, you know, that is a formation that you can really not access on an economic basis without hydraulic fracturing.
Yeah. Is there another way besides, is there a different form of besides the hydraulics, is there a different way to do that or no?
A different way than hydraulic fracturing to access the Bakken?
Yeah.
No, not that I'm aware of. You need two technologies. You need the ability to drill horizontally.
Yeah.
Where you start out, the well starts out going vertically, and then you drill horizontally in your target, and then you need to be able to frack to create cracks or fissures in the rock so that the oil or gas can flow more easily into your well. If you can't do that, then it's really not economic to drill these wells.
So the whole idea is to pinpoint it as accurately as possible, to have the best kind of guys that are scoping it on the job, so to speak.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. The gas, you know, you bring up gas, or from gas to oil. Oil, I sat next to somebody on a plane the other day from Florida to Texas, and he was going through Dallas, and he was getting a plane to Midland, and I said, well, how's Midland these days? And he said, are you kidding? It's ridiculous. He said, it is an oil boom all over again. So what's happened to turn things around there and in other places in Texas is a great example.
Well, what we saw beginning in late 2008 was that natural gas prices tanked from historic highs, and crude oil prices were remaining very high, were in the $90 to $100 range, and so that attracted investment in areas of the country where there was large crude oil deposits. That would be the Permian in Midland, in South Texas, the Eagle Ford, and then up in North Dakota in the Bakken that I mentioned.
Yeah. It's in the traditional way of doing it where people were called and asked about leases. I mean, it is like being at the craps table if you're the person who hangs on to the lease if you have that extra money to do it. But often what happens is that's a huge payoff too. You were talking about the payoff for the bonuses with the natural gas, but that can also happen with oil, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're seeing this now before planning commissions and stuff and trying to get permits and all this stuff and as far as gas drilling, and they have task forces set up. And Dallas, there's a big one coming up. What's your call there? We have certainly listeners in Dallas and Texas and all over the country, but what do you think will happen there? Because it seems like there's the pro and the cons lining up on both sides. So to present the pro case, how do you dot your I's and cross your T's?
Well, you know, tomorrow is a big day for one company in particular that paid millions of dollars to the city of Dallas back in 2008 for the privilege of entering into oil and gas leases with the city. And now they're going to find out if the city's actually going to let them drill wells on their lease. And if they don't get the go-ahead, then those leases are essentially worthless. And, you know, I think they've done a pretty good job of making the scientific case for fracking, but there's just some... It's just a lot of procrastination and some trepidation over the political consequences at the city council.
Yeah, and like I said, this is something that we're seeing, obviously, in other states. And as you said, I mean, natural gas, it's especially on the natural gas side, there's no question it's here to stay, and it's just getting bigger. It's a question of how much of a hassle it's going to be in some areas to get that natural gas, isn't it?
Yeah, in Dallas in particular, which is a pure natural gas play, you know, the economics are not great for it right now. So when you add together the political issues and the procrastination over putting in place new regulations, it's probably turning off a lot of operators, and they're finding there's other places where they can spend their money where they don't have these kind of hassles.
Right, and then what happens is, like I said, what happens for the economy, and it's that struggle again where, hey, then you have your hands up in the air and you're saying, well, when you were complaining about the economy, we had a lane to get more of that money, and we had what we thought was definitely a safe way to do it, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then you also have, you know, the issue of being able to use natural gas for electric generation, which I think, given the low prices, would be great for consumers. And then you also have the potential of being able to export that natural gas to other parts of the world where they're paying a lot more money for their gas. So, I mean, the economic benefits associated with our gas deposits are, you know, they're just, there's a lot of them, and it's good for us.
Yeah. All right, Dave, stay warm in Chicago. Watch out for some of that blinding snow if you run out to go get yourself a beef sandwich or something, okay?
Will do. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in four sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Is 2013 your year to achieve more? More vitality? More health? More well-being? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny. For 25 years, I spent my life's work teaching others how to achieve more. But in 2010, I got a lesson of my own about RNA drops. I learned that there are millions of gene switches latent in every single cell of my body that are waiting for an activator. I learned by taking RNA drops, I could begin to activate that power in my cells and achieve the more that I desire. I'd like to share what I discovered with you and send you a free 30-day supply of RNA drops valued at $50 for just the cost of shipping and handling. Go to rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call me toll-free at 888-577-3703. That's 888-577-3703. rnafreesample.com. Discover the more that's waiting for you.
I have been asked to announce that federal judge Walter J. Skinner has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with a low-cost automotive accessory called Platinum 22, which meets or exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. To learn if Platinum 22 will give you 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS or 1-800-537-7427.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Washington will need to make some choices. And in a divided government, these choices are often tough. We in the House majority remain committed to making those tough choices and stand ready to lead with this president.
Eric Cantor on the same side as the president? Are you kidding me? So what are they on the same side as? The debate over which is better? Hamburgers or hot dogs? No. I think they're on the same side when it comes to immigration. Although I think there's a lot of people that aren't going to like what happens as we go down this road of, pathway to citizenship, which is paved with a ton of potholes. Not to go back to being the cynical talk show host, but we have been here before, haven't we? We so have been here before. So Cantor saying, you know, listen, we're going to cooperate. We're going to work together. We're going to blah, blah, blah. How whatever you want to insert there. Good luck. It sounds good, doesn't it? But it's not going to happen. And for a clear reason, I think. And the reason is when you look at the amount of people we have in this country here under the wire, whether our economy drove some back or didn't or whatever, how are we adding up the totals of what somebody owes? How are we coming up with that tax bill for being in the United States on a free ride? And then, of course, others will come back and say, yeah, but no Americans want those jobs. No Americans want to be a housekeeper. No Americans want to watch kids. No Americans want to pick strawberries. Not at the prices that they're paying. It goes back to one thing, and we keep tiptoeing around it. Although in all the bills that are being thrown out, always mentioned is the employer. And every once in a while you'll see the glamorous photos of ICE cracking down on a meatpacking plant somewhere like Ottumwa, Iowa. But in the end, that's it. You get a couple of glam shots where it looks like, wow, they're really going after these people who are hiring illegals. And I say baloney. Probably I could point to maybe 15 fast food places about 3 miles from my house that are flooded with people who are in the country illegally working for them. So, you know, they're not doing that. They have never enforced the most basic thing to not having the incentives for somebody to come over illegally. And then the other part of what do we do and pathway to citizenship and, oh, we're going to come together on immigration, we're going to set a priority, we're going to get this done. The other problem with this is, what about the people who are in line to get in this country? So does it mean, and really I'm not being sarcastic about this, but does it mean for once, the person who cuts in line is truly the good guy, and the person waiting in the long line, you're just plumb out of luck. Sorry, sucker. I mean, that's the deal. So I could make up any number I want, and I could pay the amount for the taxes. So I think there's going to be some massive confusion on it. Anyway, what do? We got to do something, right? So House Republicans, you heard Cantor, kicked off one of the most active, they say, and if you go back in the archives and dig this up, we can prove it, right? Intense rounds of debate over the issue. They had a hearing where witnesses pushed for Congress to pass reform legislation to help those families and to improve our economy, because they're saying it's going to improve our economy. So, you know, where do we have proof of that? And they're talking about the youngest illegal immigrants. That, you know, we got to respect the law and the people that are waiting, but what about the kids? Why should they be punished for the mistakes of their parents? Eric Cantor, you heard that snippet of there, says he supports the Senate plan to make border security, employment verification, and a workable guest worker program part of the reform legislation. So, border security. We've been talking about border security. What happened to those walls? How long have we been talking about border security? The entire time I've done America Tonight, and before that. You can go back into the 80s and hear that conversation. So are we any closer to saying we've done it, border security, pretty good? We've sealed the deal in some of those areas where coyotes were bringing people over in the desert and it was harder to catch them. So the House had its hearing. The Prez had a separate White House meeting with labor and business people to discuss, you know, immigration reform, how it's going to fit in, what can we do. If you have 11 million people, and I think the number's higher, who aren't documented, are they going home? So how do you make them contribute to the economy? What is that going to do? What about people who will be on the dole? What about people who are going to need Social Security? It's a good thing I have a big piggy bank, because I know Social Security for me is going to be enough to probably pay for a few meals at Panera in the future. Seriously, even though we keep hearing, oh, no, it's okay. I mean, even the CBO is saying Social Security and the health bill are headed for $3.2 trillion. Now, what about dumping all these people into the roles as well? Pro-family, pro-business, you know, universities, visa laws, what's outdated, what's stupid, and how do we make any of this make sense? Think about this for a second. Many of you listening to me know of this problem. You know because it's affecting your area. In fact, any of us who have any form of coverage of health care coverage, do you know, and this is definite, you are paying $1,000 extra because of people who are not insured, most of them illegal. So we're already paying that on our premiums, which, by the way, are still going up, even though we have affordable health care. So, yeah, can we agree that there has to be some repairs? Of course. But what we have on the books now, what is and what isn't working? Can we not go through them? We keep going back to the same thing. I always describe it as ring around the rosy because how many laws do we have on the books? How many is there? I just want to go see a giant tablet, almost like the Ten Commandments, but more confusing, where we have every law. Let's see every law in the book on immigration. Well, we can look it up, and it's massive. We have massive laws. But can we not look at those laws and separate them and figure, I mean, all the people in this country who are lawyers, we have some pretty good legal minds. We can't pull this together, pull it out, and why haven't we been doing that? And figure out, okay, look, we already, ding, 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 we got a winner. We have this law in the book. I scratched it out on my yellow pad. So we're just not enforcing it. So I can't get excited about saying we have an agreement and we're going to get on board on this bipartisan immigration effort that, you know, we're going to make this happen and we want to have a pathway to citizenship and we're going to just, you know, make it be tied to border security. We're going to make this happen. That's why California Republican Congressman Daryl Issa is an interesting cat because he doesn't need the gig. He's got a gazillion dollars. He's the wealthiest guy, period, on the Hill, I think. And he's saying that, you know, you look at the president's plan, he'd say this citizenship, but we don't have secure borders. So how are we going to work that out? Then doesn't everyone run over and get the citizenship if it's because they can say they just are working here for how long of a time? And I think there's some real confusion over this. And when we have these points, these bullet points about what it is and amnesty and all that other kind of stuff, I mean, good luck trying to separate this. Business and labor. How are you getting an agreement? How many workers are we pulling in? And what's the circumstance? What are they going to get paid? What's the citizenship pathway look like? Like I said, potholes. What's permanent residency? How do you get that permanent residency? That's the obviously the critical thing toward becoming a citizen. And then it is about the people that are still in line for years and years. They would have been smarter to cut in line if this would have helped them. And we already have temporary worker programs, don't we? Don't we already have that? So what agreement are we coming to where we decide how much people are going to be paid that come in illegally and how they're going to get the permanent residency? Very, very confusing. Almost just as tough as to learn three other languages. It's like 15 different languages that they're speaking on the Hill.
You just don't get it, do you? You don't.
You've heard about or even used colloidal silver for years. But did you know there's a silver product that is much better, faster, safer, and superior? Silver that is fundamentally distinctive, different, and the only patented silver since the original colloidal silver in 1923? Introducing Silver Protocol from Neofera. Think about this. What will you do when you can't get antibiotics? Silver Protocol should be in every grab bag, the one product you gotta have when it all breaks loose. Unlike colloidal silver, use Silver Protocol preventatively or whenever infection occurs. Silver Protocol can be boiled or frozen, yet is still 100% effective, has super long shelf life, and will not cause argyria or turn you blue. Order Silver Protocol at 800-213-0644. That's 800-213-0644. Or go to neofera.com, spelled N-E-O-F-E-R-A.com. Sign up for our free educational email series at neofera.com. Silver Protocol, the ultimate immune booster.